Hey guys, if you are a father who would like to have a deeper relationship with your son, if you have a son that you're trying to pour into and develop, if you want to help your son see the greatness that you know he has in his life, I've got a very special event coming up June 23rd through 27th. We are going to be in Cleveland National Forest. My father's coming with me, the man who you hear me talk about all the time, who helped me become who I've become in life. We're going to be doing a father-son rite of passage event, map and compass, land navigation. I'll be teaching you how to use map and compass in the exact same place that I learned in Navy SEAL training. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You'll have these memories for the rest of your life. If you want to find out more, you can click the link in the description below. We've only got 16 spots available, and we've already sold a few of those. You can find out more at theimpossible.life/legacynavigators. This is the hard part about belief for people, is that belief puts you in the zone of consequence, right? Consequence means that you could get hurt, you could not get hurt. And that's what makes people uncomfortable, that there's a lack of certainty. People want certainty. And if you want certainty, you won't get very far in life. You'll certainly miss your purpose if all you want is certainty. There is a way to have certainty in that, but it's something you develop. You won't get it at the start.
That's impossible.
Let me tell you what I believe.
But your weakness is not your technique.
Yes! Yes!
Don't think you are. Know you are.
The Impossible Life Podcast.
I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket.
An idea that is fully formed, fully understood, that sticks.
This is the Impossible Life Podcast, because Nick and I are attempting to live impossible lives. What we know is that nothing is impossible. So instead of using impossible as an excuse to not try, we'll use the pursuit of impossible as an accelerant for greatness. If something's never been done before, that just means it's unexplored. If they tell you it's too hard, it's just waiting to be simplified. Impossible is a default label used by uncourageous people unwilling to take a risk. The real truth is this: the solution to any impossible task starts with this question. If I had to, what would it take?
Welcome to another episode of the Impossible Life Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick Surface, and I'm looking across at a man who has never heard a good pep talk in his life. That's right, friends, the former Navy SEAL, Garrett Unkelbach, a man who knows that motivation only costs 45 cents.
Nick is referencing something I joke around with. When I do motivational talks, which I think is funny to me that you'd hire me as a motivational speaker, I guess it's just because I don't see myself as very motivating. For me, there's a large gap between motivation and inspiration, but a lot of times I'll get introduced when I'm speaking at events as a motivational speaker. And I'll quickly tell everyone in the audience, I'm not a motivational speaker. Let me tell you about motivation. And I'll say, I can motivate all of you more than you've ever been motivated in your life for 45 cents. Sometimes 75 cents just depends
on the economy.
It depends on the economy. But what I'm talking about is if I start shooting at you,
yeah,
you will run faster than you've ever run in your entire life, right? You'll be more motivated than you've ever been. And that's the cost of motivation, because as soon as I stop shooting at you or you get away, you're not going to be running very fast anymore. And that's all that motivation does for you. It moves you temporarily. So what I always try to do is inspire people, because that's where you're motivated from the inside.
Yeah, which I, as your friend, I love that, because I think that just so accurately sums up your personality. That sounds like, oh, a motivational speaker. Like, let me tell you about motivation and just tear this one down for you right now. Also,
I'm glad that you're so amused.
I'm very amused. We recently traveled on the road together, and I'm realizing that when Council set up the podcast studio for us, he actually swapped our mics. So I've got your mic and you've got mine. I just noticed that as we recorded. So it's a little bit weird.
Thanks, anyway, Council.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Nick really needs the encouragement. So you gave him the no fear mic. It's probably helpful.
Okay. Hey, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, G, but motivation only costs 45 cents. I don't need the encouragement. Anyways, today's episode is four steps to unlock your dreams, four steps to make your dreams come true. And that sounds lofty, G, doesn't it? Sounds massively lofty.
Many people are probably thinking, if only it was that easy.
Yeah, and here's the thing, like, really, I it's not easy.
It's not easy, it's just simple.
But yeah, it's simple, not easy. That's really the definition, but truly you can. Anyways, we're going to get into that, but I was looking this up, G, because I think so many people, for them, if you say, hey, you know, what is your dreams? It's going to be about something they do. Usually it's a dream job. And so I was like, huh, I wonder how many people actually have their dream job. Fortunately, there's a survey for everything. So JobSage.
I just want to pause on that for a second. That I'm. That's how it should be. People's dreams should be. This is the work that I want to do. These are the people that I want to serve. Right. People's dream isn't like, man, I want to like do drugs every day and destroy my life.
Right.
People's dream isn't, you know, it's for some people, but it's more rare. People's dream isn't, you know, I just want to wander around and do whatever I want every day.
Right.
I just want to sit on a beach every day. You know, I like to sit on a beach. I like to be in the mountains, but I don't want to do that every day. It's not for my dream that I could do that for my life.
Right.
Right. Your dream should be a certain type of work.
Yeah, that's a good prerequisite. If your dream is to win the lottery and become a consumer
probably,
in society,
this probably isn't the right podcast.
Yeah, you need to find the Happy and Healthy podcast or something like that. I'm sure there's one titled that. Anyways, so I was looking up the survey for people in dream jobs because I was like, I wonder how many people actually have their dream jobs. And so JobSage.com did a survey. Admittedly, it was 1,200 people, so not the most massive sample size.
I mean, you can do 2,000 people samples if you get it right and it's representative.
For sure. Yeah, so here's what they said, G. I mean, you already know the stats, so I can't even make you guess because I wrote it on the board. But only 1 in 10 Americans in this survey said that they're working their dream job.
That's which honestly is higher than I would have thought.
Same. I would have thought it had been lower than that. But one, I mean,
people
still
might have a low bar for their dream job.
Well, it's funny that you say that. So, because I'm going to go into what was considered a dream job. So of the people surveyed, though, 7 in 10 don't even think they're on the right track to get their dream job. So that means that like 70% of the, so keep in mind 1 in 10. So basically it's only
7 out of 9.
Yeah. 7 out of 9 are like, not only do I not have my dream job, I'm not even on the path.
Walking in the wrong direction.
Yeah. I'm going the wrong direction. And over half of the Americans surveyed here think that their dreams aren't fit for the economy, AKA what I'd really like to do wouldn't bring enough money in for me to actually live on. So it's not even realistic. I'm going to win the lottery.
This podcast really short. Excellence is always in demand.
There you go. Okay, well, we're going to wrap up here, guys. No, we're not going to wrap up. But what was crazy to me, so they asked these people, I mean, you talked about there might be a low bar for dream job. Yeah. They asked people what their dream salary was. The dream job salary, what do you think it was? Don't look at the board.
$110K.
120. You were close. You didn't look, obviously. No. 120K, but the actual median salary was 50. So that means that people are thinking, if I could just double it and, you know, almost 1.5 times, I would be there.
The average American in the workforce, like these are people around our age.
Yeah.
Right. And just by the, just tidbit for you, it was 100K when our parents were in the workforce.
Yeah.
Right. When our parents were our age, the 100K from when our parents were in the workforce is now 300K.
Right.
So if we're just talking about the six figures, you need to reset that to 300K.
It's funny you say that though, because you do hear people talk about six figures. I don't know why this popped in my head, but one of our friends back in California, she had a girlfriend who would only date people who were 6 feet tall and had six figures. That was like her, that was her criteria. She was a deep person.
It was so deep.
Yeah. Anyways, I think California has a lot of those. No offense. Shout out to all my friends in California. Okay. So, because we're talking about
throwing shots today.
No, I mean, look, I'm from California, but yes, I take a lot of shots at it. Anyways, it's like anything, there's plenty of great people. I feel like I have to say this because I know we have a lot of people that are in Mindset Mastery and listen to us in California. I think the reason I say things about California is because it saddens me because it's such a wonderful,
beautiful,
it's the most beautiful state in all of America by far. Most resource, most anything. I just think it's horribly managed.
It's, I mean, the only other place on the planet that's similar to California is like the France, Switzerland area. The area between the Mediterranean and the Swiss Alps, that's really what California is.
Yeah.
You've got beautiful ocean, you know, from basically from California to the Rockies.
Yeah. I was expecting the Rockies to be a lot rockier than this. That John Denver. Anyways, so thinking about dreams, how could we talk about dreams without talking about one of the most famous philosophers of all time? Of course, I'm referring to Jiminy Cricket. And everyone knows his famous poem on stars, which is, or on dreams, which is When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah.
And I told Garrett if he wants people to turn off the podcast, he should sing that for them.
Good at a lot of things.
Yeah, singing is not on his list. And as Garrett will quickly tell you, is God wanted to make it fair, so he had to have something he was bad at. This is how we make fun of each other and banter whenever you guys aren't listening. But that's the reason I bring that up. I grew up with that song. I actually still have the light that I had when I was a kid that you twist it up and it plays that song like the little music box thing. It's in my son's room. It's wonderful. However, a lot of people, for their dreams to come true, that's about what it's going to take, is that their lucky stars are going to come in. It's completely just pie in the sky.
Got to get my lottery ticket every day.
That's it. Like, hey, one day our ship's going to come in. It's that thought process for a lot of people. And what we're saying is it doesn't have to be. I mean, one of the prerequisites, right, for you to see your dreams come true is that, A, it sounds obvious, you have to have a dream, but also B, you have to have belief, right? Because if you don't have belief, you are literally just going to be like, well, Maybe it'll just happen one day.
And to clarify, that should be a dream. That's not just to right. do nothing.
Right. Yeah, we're talking about dream, like Garrett said.
But I know that's who's listening to this podcast.
Right. I was going to say, I don't think we have a lot and of people trying to
that's,
slack
That's
off.
What I hope we accomplish with this podcast, is that you'll see your dream as possible. Right. I would say if there's anything that I love doing, it's one of the things I love doing the most is helping people see what's possible. That you could walk away from an episode or any of our episodes and have more belief and see what God can do with yes. your life. That you believe it's possible. And that's really the place to start with. You don't have to start by saying, like, I can do it. You have to start mm-hmm. with your dream and say, my dream is possible.
Yes. Yeah, because you said something really profound beforehand. You said the reason most people don't pursue their dreams is because they want certainty. And you always say beliefs are things you know to be true.
I grew up with people calling me crazy.
Right.
Right, because I was into extreme sports. I was into parkour. I was into all of this stuff. And they're like, you just throw your body around. You just don't care what happens to you. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty human.
Yeah. I feel
like
pain.
I'd like to not shatter my femur.
Yeah.
But it's calculated risk.
Right.
Right. And to me, there was a purpose to it. I wasn't just trying to, like, you know, see how much I could damage my body. I was actually trying to push the limits of what I believed was possible, which at that time, it's what I felt like I was supposed to be doing, which actually set me up for the military and where I am today. Like, let's push the limits of what's possible, right? Because this is what's going to grow us into the next season of our life. And some of the stuff I did back then was why in the SEAL teams, I was one of the slowest runners in my class and the fastest on the obstacle course.
Yeah.
Because I had spent a lot of time not in building my cardio base.
Right.
But in pushing the limits of what's possible from an agility standpoint.
Yeah, because, I mean, you tell a story about when you jumped off, what was it, a 20-foot roof or 17?
18
feet. I mean, I think about that sometimes.
After about 14 feet, every 6 inches is like a dramatic difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And because you were trying to see if you could do it without damaging yourself until you learned how to.
I spent years working up to that because, like, when you first, especially for young kids, if you're, like, 12 years old, like, 11 feet, like, you shouldn't just, like, If you play sports or whatever, I wouldn't try to go above 11 feet like your first time. Right, that's the highest thing you should jump off. And there's certainly, like, you need to practice technique at a much lower level.
Right.
But you have to build up strength and stamina and bone density to withstand greater and greater falls.
Huh. Well, I mean, there you go. There's a little bonus tidbit. If your dream is to jump off an 11-foot roof, we just solved it for you.
I was super fascinated with that stuff as a kid. I was fascinated with Joseph Kittinger, obviously the highest balloon jump. And I'm blanking on his name right now, but I was fascinated with the guy who has the highest high dive into water.
Oh,
it's like 190 feet.
Wow.
You start getting close to a velocity that'll kill you.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a point where, like, and this guy jumped higher than anybody had ever jumped. And you're getting close to a point that, like, you miss it by a few inches and you're going to start, you know, shattering your rib cage.
What's interesting is that's the first time I've ever heard you talk about that for as much time as we spent together. So I think that's interesting that was another kind of reference point
for you.
Something
I was fascinated by.
Yeah. No, and you can see that how this is going to, the reason we're talking about this is going to play into where we're going. This isn't just us being self-indulgent, but the whole point being that, like, you have belief, but that doesn't mean that you have certainty. Your beliefs are going to determine your possibility. So what we know now about Garrett is, okay, he said he was great on the O course. He obviously became a Navy SEAL, and he had a belief that it didn't start with, hey, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. It started with, I need to push my boundaries. And for so many of us, I think we won't even realize that the level of our belief.
And if I can just interrupt for a second, what I felt like was people had such a low bar for what was possible.
Yes.
Right? Like, I'd look, you know, I'd look at something that's 10 feet high and they're like, oh, you can't jump off that. Like, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You're just afraid to try it.
Right.
You're afraid. We've entered into the zone of consequence. We've not entered into the zone of impossibility.
Correct.
Right.
And I think, catch that. There's a big difference.
I think that's where a lot of people back away from their dreams.
Yes. So
as soon as they enter into the zone of consequence instead of the zone of impossibility.
That's so good, G. Yeah, I mean, what we said was beliefs determine possibility, and that's what you're saying. And so what people don't realize, like you said, as soon as it gets to consequence, they pull back. So their beliefs become very low. I mean, you said earlier, hey, if your parents' dream was 100, yours shouldn't be 120. Well, why? Because here's the thing. If you think that you need to make X amount of dollars, subconsciously, you're going to find a way to get there. If you're a persistent person, you put the hard work in, and then what?
As like Ziegler said, climb the ladder and realize the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. You don't want to climb the ladder of money.
Yeah, but not just the ladder of money. I'm saying that because people are putting a ceiling on themselves all the time, and they don't even realize it. Like, you walk around with a conscious belief of, hey, this would be possible, but this wouldn't. And like you said, it's like, one, how do you know? because your belief, but what I'm saying is you have a low belief, so you're going to get a low result. I want to read a poem actually from...
Before you do, I just want to talk about the certainty for a second.
Okay.
This is where a lot of people get like, this is the hard part about belief for people, is that belief puts you into a category, like I said, the zone of consequence, right? Consequence means that you could get hurt, you could not get hurt.
Right.
And that's what makes people uncomfortable, that there's a lack of certainty, right? I was, and we're just using this as an analogy for risk, right? I was jumping off of stuff that I could get hurt.
Right.
Not that I would get hurt.
Correct.
But other people were saying, people, and this is people who don't want to chase their dreams, right? I'm making an analogy of me jumping off of high objects to people in their dreams. Other people, their limit was, how high can I jump off something and know that I won't get hurt?
Right. Yeah, right. Very good.
People want certainty. And if you want certainty, you won't get very far in life.
Yes.
You'll certainly miss your purpose if all you want is certainty. There is a way to have certainty in that, and we'll come back to that later. But it's something you develop. You won't get it at the start.
Yeah, that's so good, G. A little bit of foreshadowing. But like I was saying before, so often we set these limitations on ourselves, and we think that we're setting success marks or we're setting goals, but we actually aim really low, like what you said, because people are asking the question, how high can I jump without that? I know I wouldn't get hurt. Well, how, what's a number that I know I could hit if I pushed a little bit, and you know, it wouldn't really be a huge risk, but man, I'd feel good because it's better than where I'm at now. Like, no one's going to say that's their thought process, but all the time people set these safe goals or this safe place that they're trying to get to. And what they're really doing is limiting themselves. And I want to read this poem. This is from Success from a Positive Mental Attitude by Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone. Now listen to this. I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just an employer. It gives you what you ask. But once you've set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Man, that's the kind of thing that if they read that at my funeral and I had just fallen short in my life, I feel like I would cry even though I was dead.
It'll give you what you want, but you must bear the task.
You know what that is, G? That's part of the infinite potential unlock. You can have anything you want in life if you're willing to pay the price.
As long as you're willing to pay the price.
And I would much rather set a great dream and just become a price payer and understand that my great dream is going to require me to be great than to play it safe and be like, well, you know what? This will be pretty good.
It's, you know, the people say when you die, you can't take it with you. Mm. You know what else you can't take with you? All of your saved energy and effort.
Yes.
Right? Mm. I want to die expended. Used the wisdom that God's given
100%.
Me. I've used all of the resources. That doesn't mean I spent everything. It means I deployed everything. I want to deploy all of the resources that God has given me.
Yeah, I could not agree more. There's a great Hunter Thompson quote that I was trying to look up about. He talks about life is not meant to be something where you roll in at the end with a well-preserved body, but you roll in tired, out of breath, and completely
used up. Your
life
is not something to preserve. It's something to expend.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, so what it feels like, what I want to say, like for a lot of people, we're describing this, and we're going to oversimplify the frustration or the feeling of stuck. What it is that where you're at is basically not where you want to be. In a very, very simple...
I can say that for us.
Right. That's true.
We're not where we want to be.
Correct. But I think that there's a divine tension. There's not a frustration, or we don't feel stuck. I feel like we're on the path and we're on the journey. But so the reason we're talking about this is because ultimately this taps into purpose, right? And purpose is comprised of two things, G. I mean, this is your...
Purpose comes from two things, right? Well, for one, purpose comes from God.
For sure.
Right. And it says that God created this. That's what's common to all of us who are serving God, is that our purpose is to advance the kingdom.
Correct.
Right. And kingdom is what God's put in us. And we want to grow kingdom within ourselves and invite kingdom into other people. That's the long and the short. And by the way, we have a great podcast on kingdom from back in like October of last year. But that's our purpose, is to advance the kingdom. However, we all have a unique purpose. And this is Ephesians 2:10. There's many scriptures on this, but this is Ephesians. I've looked at every scripture in the Bible on purpose. And what's cool about that is when you know everything that the Bible says, you also know what it doesn't say.
Yes.
Right. And so what the Bible does tell us about purpose is that you have one and that it's unique. But it doesn't tell you what it is. There's no scripture that says this is what Garrett's purpose is.
Right.
Right. So if God wanted us to know it and God gave it to us, but he doesn't tell us what it is, that means that it's up to us to discover it. Right. He wants us to go on this journey of discovering what our purpose is, that we would walk in it. And part of that is how he's going to walk with us and train us, how we can experience him and grow in the ways that he wants us to grow. The same thing that, like, you do with your children. Right. There's some things that you'll teach your children. Don't run in the street. I don't want you to learn that by yourself.
Right.
There's other lessons of emotional maturity and things like that, that you'll maybe give some guidance, but you won't tell it to him. It's sure. better that you experience this and learn it yourself than right. if I just tell you, right? And that's how God feels about our purpose. And but there are things that God gives us to lead us into our purpose. Mm-hmm. And there's two things that God gives everyone that can help lead you to your purpose. And these are also in Scripture, right? You can find both of these in Scripture. But just to summarize really quick, it's what's in your hand and what's in your heart. Right. With Moses, is Exodus 4:2, God's asking him a question. If God's asking you a question, it's not for him. It's for you. Mm-hmm. Right. He's reminding you of something. But God, this is what most of us would want. God came to Moses and said, here's what your purpose is, son. Right. I'm going to use you to lead all of my people out of Israel. I'm going to use you to save my children. God tells Moses exactly what his purpose is, but he questions it. He's like, I don't think so. You know, I killed a guy. I've been living in the desert for 40 years. I haven't shaved in a long time. Right. Right. I don't think I'm the right person. And God says, Moses, what's in your hand? Right. And so this is, he's referring to the staff. He's telling Moses, I don't need you to tell me what you don't have. I need you to use what you do have. But what God uses to remind Moses of what his purpose is what's in his hand. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that God gives us to lead us into our purpose.
Right.
Right. Don't focus on what you don't have. What you do have is what I want you to use to move forward in your purpose. That's one part. The second part is what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
God gives all of us dreams. Now, before this is what's in our heart. Your heart is your desire center.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Jeremiah 17, the Lord says, the heart is evil and wicked. Who can help it? At the end of Jeremiah says, God says, who can help the heart but me? Right. I can.
Yes.
Right. Ezekiel 36, God says, I will give you a new heart. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's all Old Testament. The New Testament, we're called to transformation. We're called to change. When your heart changes, when you have a heart that's for God, a heart that wants to serve God, you're still going to have dreams. And those are God dreams. Those are dreams that God's given you. You're going to serve in this. I want you to have this dream. In the same way that Joseph had a dream, and his dream was just that his brothers would bow down to him. But his purpose was that he would save all of Israel from starvation and famine. Joseph's brothers did bow down to him. That was his dream. Mm-hmm. And he also achieved his purpose.
Right.
The dream was just part of one of the steps that he crossed getting to his purpose. Right. So we're all going to have dreams, and dreams are just a piece of our purpose. So what's in your heart and what's in your hand, if you'll work on both, if you'll use what you have in your hand, if you'll follow the dreams that God put in your heart, right? If it's a God mm-hmm. dream, if you have a desire to serve God, if you'll go after the dream that God's put in your heart, that's what's going to lead you to your purpose.
Right. And so where to rephrase, I want Garrett to say that, because if you remember, I said that frustration is where you're at is not where you want to be. Frustration is what's in your hand is very different to what's in your heart, in your own mind.
And that's where people feel stuck. Oftentimes, exactly. They're like, well, man, I want to be this. I want to achieve this in real estate. I want to achieve this in sports. I want to achieve mm-hmm. this in business. I want to do all these things. But all I got is this. All I got's a, you know, hammer and nails. How am I supposed to build this great mansion? I want to be, you know, this level of athlete, but all I have, you know, I'm just a coach for middle school,
right?
Whatever it is, you feel like, man, I don't know how I could accomplish that. And that's where people get stuck is they don't see the path from what's in their hand to what's in their heart.
Right. And that's why we talked about before about how beliefs are not certainty. Like, you don't have any certainty. I've said before on our podcast that if you said to most people, I think the listeners of our podcast are by and large motivated go-getters, which I love the fact that we have those people listening to us. And I think if we said to most of our listeners, hey, if you work hard for 3 years exactly, you're gonna have to work 60 hours a week, but at the end you'll get X.
It's a guarantee.
I think
the majority would do it.
Oh yeah, I think the vast majority would do it, but you're just never gonna get that in life. And so what we're saying is that the bridge between
I can tell you is that God's promise is better than that guarantee.
Yes,
he just won't give you all the details.
Correct. So the bridge between what's in your hand and what's in your heart, or where you're at and where you want to be, is faith. Faith is the bridge.
Faith is the bridge.
And so it's so important that you know how to build your faith. Fortunately, we're going to get into that. We're about to get to the four steps, but one of the things I want to say, so faith is the bridge between those two things. One of the fastest ways to kill your faith
is believing in what's possible. Faith is seeing the possible of God, that God can do anything.
Right.
But how do you kill your faith?
Right. Well, you kill your faith by being negative. Yeah. And the hallmark of negativity is that you focus on what you don't have. It's a focus of lack.
Say my favorite quote on negativity.
You have it. No one is... The greatest fault of pessimism is that no one's smart enough to be a pessimist.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't know.
You don't know enough to be a pessimist.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Man, you put me on the spot there. I was nervous for a second. But yeah, but that is so true, though. Because you really don't know how it's going to go. And uh-huh. all the time, you can sit there and you can talk yourself out of something. I'm talking to someone who's done this over and over and over again, and I don't even know what I missed out on, honestly. But you have to stir your faith. And if faith is the bridge, how do you stir your faith? I've talked about this before. You have to remind yourself, if you look in the Old Testament, if you look in the New Testament, when God did something, one of the first things they did was they built an altar, which was really a sacrifice of thanks, but they also, you know, they'd pile stones on top of each other. They would put something that was like a memory so that when people would walk by, or they would name the place after what God had done there. Why did they do that? It's because they're reminding themselves.
To remember.
Yeah, to remember. I mean, it's why God tells you so many times in the, you know, throughout the Bible about write this on the tablet of your heart, you know, put it on your forehead, talk about it when you're coming, when you're going, talk about it with your children. Like, that's what he told the Old Testament. That's what he said in the Old Testament to the Israelites. And the point was, because you need to remember, he knew he was only doing one Passover, but they still kept doing the Passover meal. Why? Because you have to remind yourself what God's done in your past. So what has God done in your past? I'm not talking to you personally, G, but to you as a listener. When has God come through for you, no matter how small or big? I have a list, and I've said this before on this podcast, but I'll say it again because I think it's worthwhile. I have a list on my phone of God's miracles, of times when he stepped in for small things, for big things, whether it was provision, whether it was healing, whether it was just him orchestrating the events of my life, but just God using the mediums in place in my life to bring his will about. And I remind myself of those often, because you know what happens when I do that? Man, I feel peace like I can't even describe, because peace comes not from knowing what's going to happen, but from knowing what you'll do. And I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in God, because he's literally never let me down. So I just want to encourage you guys, stir up your faith.
Negativity is a form of quitting, right? One of the things I like, one of the ways that I leveraged the difficult situation that I went through going through SEAL training, was I knew that what I was going through in SEAL training wasn't just about that thing.
Right.
This was tied to my destiny, mm-hmm. right? I knew it was my purpose to be there. And so I said, if I quit on this thing, what else am I going to quit on? Right. But on the flip side, I said, if I believe I can do this, if I'll work through this process, I know it's possible. I know it's very hard. I know it's possible, though. Other men have done it. I know it's possible for me to do that. It's gonna hurt really bad. I'm going to go through a lot of pain in this process. But if I can do this, what else is possible?
Yeah.
Right? But if I had been negative about the process and said, well, I don't think I can do it. It's not for me. So many people don't make it. It's okay if I don't make it. When you start backing mm-hmm. up, when you quit in that way, that's when you've opened the door of quitting, to be like, well, yeah. I quit on this. What's the next thing that I'm going to try? Oh, that's too hard. Yeah, let me find something else. So quit on that, and you go from quit to quit. It's what negativity does in your life. Negativity is a downward spiral in your life.
That's so good, G. All right, well, let's get to the four steps to bring your dreams to reality.
Let's unlock some dreams.
I hope you're encouraged to dream. I hope this is stirring up your belief. I hope you're encouraged to stir up your faith. But G, number one, right, is use what you have.
This is where God said to Moses, yep. What's in your hand, right? You've got to take what God's given you and put it to work. Mm-hmm. This is where we start. We talked about the bridge. Faith gets you from what's in your hand to what's in your heart.
Right.
Well, at the very beginning of that bridge, like before you even get into the faith part of the bridge, mm-hmm. you've got to take what's in your hand and say, well, I'm going to work with this.
Yeah.
All Moses had was a shepherd's staff. Moses was saying, I don't talk good. People don't like me. There's a bunch of people back there that know what I did. I don't know. And God says, Moses, what's in your hand? It's a shepherd's staff. Use that to lead people the same way that you've led animals. You use it to defend yourself. You use it to pull people in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's who you are, and that's what you can do. I don't need you to tell me all the things that you don't have. Don't tell me how you're not a good speaker. Don't tell me how you're not well-liked by everybody else.
Right.
Use what you currently have mm-hmm. and go and stand before them, do what I've given you, and I'll take care of the rest. If you can't start with that, if you won't use what's in your hand, you will never unlock your dreams.
Yeah. And one of the things that's in your hand, because I mean, we could go through a long list, and actually in Mindset Mastery, we take people through the what's in your hand exercise so they can start to understand all the things they've been given. But one of the things that's in your hand is a measure of faith. And people will look at that and be like, okay, great. But here's the point of that. Your faith grows. Right. You may not be sitting there going like, you know what? I have faith that can move mountains. And, you know, we hear these stories about I'm a person of great faith. But one of the things that's in your hand right now is a measure of faith.
Yep. It's what God's given you. You didn't dig it up. You didn't find it. God gives you a seed of faith. But if you want more faith, you have to grow it.
Yeah. And I think about this because I wanted to point that out to people. But just I think about our own lives. Obviously, I know your story well. I know my own story very well because I've lived it. When you were saying, okay, my dream is to be a Navy SEAL, what was in your hand was you had a YouTube video, you had a backyard pool in winter, and you had a whole lot of, I'm going to go kick my butt.
And I had a some teenage years of being what many people would call crazy.
Right. And a lot of people would be like, dude, you got no, well,
I'd
not
never,
a lot of people.
I'd never met one Navy SEAL when I went into training.
Right.
Many people, I remember getting past boot camp to pre-buds and talking to all these guys, and they'd been in a training pool with SEAL mentors for years. And I was like, well,
Yeah, but I say that because I want that to encourage people, because you also said that because you spent so much time in your pool, it was actually way colder than the ocean.
Yeah, my pool was like, you know, upper 30s, low 40 degrees, and I thought it was like every day for hours, which yeah. It's not, except in Hell Week. And they put us in the water. I was like, "Oh, this ain't so bad."
Right?
Because I'd never been to the West Coast Ocean before.
But I wanted to point that out about your story because I think it's easy for people to see you as a SEAL now and just go, "Well, Garrett always had that." No, you took what was in your hand. I look at where I'm at in my own. And I've shared this before. My production company now, we do all sorts of cool stuff. I've talked about it before. Work with famous athletes. How that started for me was with a $400 DSLR about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that now. And it was me just seeing the need and being like, well, I got a camera off and iMovie. I'll figure it out. That's honestly how my production company started. Like,
awesome.
If you were going to say the genesis of my production company, it started out with me just figuring really basic stuff out and just seeing a need and being trying to get better. And just like reading tips and spending time messing around with iMovie.
It's a guy who showed up at a job site with a hammer and a belt and said, I'm going to be a home builder.
That's exactly what it was. Great. Go hammer some nails. All right. Well, I'm going to figure it out. And so I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you're miles away, I hope that those two stories give you some encouragement. All right, so step two, G, is walk with God.
This is analogous to what God did with Adam in the beginning of Genesis,
yeah.
Right? What did he do with him? Before Adam ever sinned, what would God do with him? He'd walk with him. Mm-hmm. He'd be with him. He made a son, and he said, okay, now I'm going to come spend time with you, and I'll train you. Right. What this looks like in our own life is once we start to use what's in our hand, because God was correcting Moses in that moment. Mm-hmm. He's saying, son, I need you to do what I'm asking you to do. This is level one of unlocking your dreams. Part of that is just an obedience to what you know to do.
Yeah.
Right. You've heard me talk about excellence a lot, Nick, where there's two levels mm-hmm. of excellence. There's obedience level of excellence, but there's wisdom level of excellence. You'll never get to a great level of excellence until you're obedient to what you know to do. Mm-hmm. You'll never get to this place of, God, I want you to grow who I am. I want you to help me discover my greatness and walk in my greatness until you start to be obedient to the things that you know to do. Because God is a master over stewards. And what stewardship is about is those who are faithful with little will become rulers over much. If you don't use what you've already been given, you're not going to be given more.
Correct.
But if you'll use what's in your hand, God will say, come walk with me. I'll train you. It's not that I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with God if you're not deploying what's in your hand. But if you want to be deployed into greatness, if you want God to show you how to grow into your dreams, it starts with you being faithful with what you've been given, you being obedient to what you know to do. And then through a relationship with God, he's not only is he going to grow your relationship with him, your desire for him, but that's where you'll grow in diligence. That's where you will grow in all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And through your desire to be more like him, your desire for more of him in your life, that's where your dreams will become more clear.
Yeah. And I think part of this training is, as you said, you're walking with God, is to know God and to use what's in your hand. Well, one of the things that we all have in our hand in the modern days is the Bible. And I mean, I've heard Garrett preach a lot. And one of the things that he always tells, no matter what room of how mature people are, he just comes in and goes like, hey, you should be reading your Bible every day. Because
I think for the first year that I was ever sharing messages, every message, the point was read your Bible.
I agree with you. It always boiled down to that. But we laugh, but it's so basic. And it always, I don't know if I should say surprised me, but I'm always a little bit amazed that it's like you say you want to know somebody. And it's like, well, if you want to know somebody, you got to look at what they've
given you. It's like wanting to be a bodybuilder, but you don't go to the gym.
Right. I mean, because you think about
it. You call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ. I want my life to look like Christ, but you've never read about him.
Right. And now zoom out to 100,000-foot view, and you're God. And you can choose to speak to people any way you want. God could just be everywhere at once. He could be talking to people in very audible ways, but he chose to use the word of God. Why is that? You know, if you want to get philosophical, why would God do that? Well, you know what? When you start to seek him, it says, if you seek me with all my heart, you'll find me.
That's right.
Or you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Ask and it will be given. You know, and so this is the whole point. If you're expecting it to be super easy, I think that some of the joy comes from the seeking. And that's whenever you really start to get to know God. So reading your Bible, and prayer, this is part of the training.
This step two where we're at, we're about to go to step three. This step two where we're at, part of that, like walking with God, is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will give you this first seed of faith, and then you're going to grow it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know how you grow it? You grow it by spending time in the word of God.
Yeah.
If you want to have more faith, read the word of God. See what he does in other people's lives. Get to know him closer. And we're going to get to step three. This is where you really grow in it. But before you ever do any of that, They'll train you. Just mm-hmm. like you heard me talking about this at Mighty Men recently, Nick, but that's what training does. Training yeah. prepares you for the real test.
Very good.
Spending time with God, reading the word, that is your training ground to help you develop and stir up your faith so that when the test comes, you have enough faith to get through it.
Very good. Yeah. And it talks about the things that you do in private. You get reward in public for what you do in private. I think that's a Tony Robbins quote, but I mean, it's like that as well. I mean, mm-hmm. the time you spend with God is establishing a foundation, and there's a scripture that I'm blanking on right now, but it talks about it'll talk to you when you walk around. I think it's in Proverbs. And what it's really saying is what you sow into your heart is going to be the things that guide you when you're out. The scripture will speak to you. It'll become real as you're out living. So step 3G is to sow seed. That's
where Jesus said, "I will. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And call to yes. your remembrance yeah. everything that I've said."
Very good.
There's two parts there. Mm-hmm. Guide you and call to your remembrance everything that I've said. That works the same for us. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit can't call to your remembrance scripture that you don't know, scripture that you haven't let God speak into you.
Right. Yeah. Now step 3G is sow seed / take risk, which you might be a little bit surprised at. But like pursuing your dreams is a risky business.
This is really like the test part, right? Yes. You've got to step out there. You use what you had. God's grown your faith. Now you got to take risk. Now you got to actually put some seed in the ground and see what happens, mm-hmm. right? This is the part where there's consequence.
Right.
You could have eaten that seed, but you chose to put it in the ground. And by putting it in the ground, yes, it's possible that you could lose it, but it could also grow into your dreams.
Yeah. And this next, I'm going to read this quote. I've read it before. I love it. We've shared it. This really leads to step 4, and it's kind of a mix between 3 and 4. It's a perfect transition. I feel like our band Napoleon Hill is getting a few shout outs today. Not that he cares, but passive faith is no more a force than sight is to an eye that doesn't observe.
I love that quote. Say it again.
I'm not done yet. You actually interrupted me halfway through. Typical Garrett style. Passive faith is no more a force than sight is to an eye that doesn't observe. Active faith steps out on its belief and risks failure because it assumes it will succeed. Now that's
what sowing seed is. It's active faith.
Yes,
it right? really and is. And when you've trained, when you've walked with, so that's what the military was like. We trained so much that when you got to the real thing, you're like, I mean, this is a little bit different, but I know what to do. I've practiced this 1,000 times.
Right.
I'm not like running around panicking. What do I do? What do I help? Right. Yeah. When you've been trained, you're ready for the real thing.
Correct.
When you've been walking with God, when you've been spending your time in the training season, when the test comes, you know exactly what to do. You'll step out. You'll sow a seed.
Mm-hmm. And just like you love the Dennis Peacock quote that every day is training day,
yep.
you are always being conditioned. You are always training yourself for what? And think about it. If someone looked at your actions today and said, hey, if you keep doing these actions, what's your life going to look like in 5 or 10 years?
I think anybody can ask that question.
Yeah, they can. And you can ask yourself that question. That's why we're so big on doing difficult things. That's why we both ice bath. It's not the hardest thing in the world. There's lots of funny videos on the internet about it now, and it's become kind of like a fad. But like, I'm going to be doing my ice bath. I'm going to be doing difficult things. We ran the 100-miler. We're always looking to push ourselves. Why? Because you don't know what's coming. But what I've found is that the better I get, the stronger I get, the tougher I get, the more prepared I am for things that I don't know are coming. And so I don't want to be prepared only as long as things stay really, really good.
At what point in your life do you say, I've done all the hard stuff. It's time to chill.
When I'm dead. Boom. Anyways.
Ideally, that would be the case.
Yeah, that's...
Right? You need to be sowing seed for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right? And what we will do towards the end of our life is we'll start to sow seed that we won't harvest. For sure. Right? Big that time. Our children will.
Yeah. There's never going to be the retirement, the impossible life retirement plan. So that doesn't exist.
Let's go to the fourth step.
So the fourth step of unlocking your dreams is to water it with faith. We talked about sowing seed and taking the risk. I can tell you that just because you take the risk doesn't mean that that was the step of faith. Yes, it requires faith to do that, but you have to consistently water it with faith. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. This is you having certainty about what's going to happen and trust in God and stirring that up, even whenever you're not seeing it with your physical eyes.
This fourth part of water it with faith, really what this is about is consistency.
Yeah.
Right? You put the seed in, like a lot of people want their seed to be like you just throw a seed on the ground like a magic ninja bean and it just poofs
yeah.
right into
we want Jack and the Beanstalk. Yeah, yeah. Give me that.
That's what people want. But no, you put the seed in the ground, you're like, man, this is scary and I could lose it. You know, you put the seed in the ground, you could dig it up real quick and probably still eat it. You could keep it.
It's right? a good analogy.
But you put the seed in the ground and you water it. You give it what it needs to grow. You also ensure that you can't use it again.
Right.
right? And then you have to keep watering it, and you have to keep watering it, right? You're believing, okay, I think something's going to happen if I'll stay in this process. Mm-hmm. If I'll keep doing what I know to do, if I'll keep believing, if I'll keep acting in obedience, if I'll keep, because this is a process that you continually walk through. You need to be doing all four of these things. You do what you know to do. Be obedient. Spend time with God. Spend time in the Word of God. Walk with Him like Adam was. This is our training season. Put the seed in the ground and then keep watering it with faith and keep watering it with faith. And you know what? We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Some of the seeds you put in the ground, some of them won't grow.
Yeah.
Right. And so part of sometimes what this looks like is sow another seed, keep watering, sow another seed, keep watering, sow another seed, keep watering, and let God do His part. This is kind of the crazy part about sowing a seed is that's all we get to do. I have the seed. I could not sow it, but I put it in the ground. I put dirt over it and I water it. How rudimentary is that compared to what actually happens?
Yeah,
that this amazing little speck thing, you just put water on it. And then as it gets out of the ground, it also receives sun and it grows into things that we can eat. It grows into beautiful flowers. Like, you didn't do any of that. You just put a little dot in the ground and put dirt on it and got it wet.
Yeah.
Right. Our part is really so simple, but we can screw it up.
Yeah. No. And I think what we've touched on this before, but what you're referring to with last week with the sowing and reaping is you've seen it before, right? The reason that you keep active if you were planting an actual seed is because you kind of know when harvest season is, and you don't get mad if you don't see it sprouting after a day, right? Because you know it's going to take time. But in what we're sowing with our dreams, you don't have any guarantee, which is what you talked about earlier about beliefs not being certainty, and you don't actually know when the harvest season is coming. And that's why a lot of people will give up, right? Like, there's that famous 3 feet from gold. You stop digging when you're 3 feet. And it's like, you don't have an indication. So you've got to set your time frame orientation. Another podcast we've done, which is one of my favorites.
Definitely worth jumping back to.
Yeah, but you have to be prepared to say, how long are you going to do this? Well, just going to keep going. Till when? Till it comes true.
That's faithfulness.
Exactly.
Staying in faith.
Yeah. All right, guys. So the four steps, G reviewed them, but we're just going to say, 1, use what you have. 2, walk with God. 3, sow seed and take the risk. And then 4, water it with faith. This is an ongoing thing. I hope that encourages some of you guys. Don't be frustrated if what's in your hand and where you're at right now is not what's in your heart and not where you want to be. This is, you have to get going. You have to be faithful to what you got.
I want to just add one quick thing. I know this isn't everybody, but I feel like for a lot of people who are ready to, they feel like they're right there on the edge of their dreams and they're like, well, where am I at? A lot of people, I know you're in between step 2 and 3.
Very good.
Right. You've been obedient. You're doing the things that you know to do. You're spending time with the Lord. You're trying to grow in that, but it's time to take a risk.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. Remember to share, like, subscribe. If you think that this would be something that someone would enjoy, please send it to them. We appreciate it all. If you want to get in touch, you can follow us on Instagram at The Impossible Life. You'll find us on there. You can also email at impossiblelifepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, if you want to get in touch and find out about Garrett's personal or business coaching, that's the way to do it. Thank you again for listening. Go out there, think better, and live the impossible. See you again soon. Long before ice baths were a thing, Garrett was doing them in the SEAL teams. Now we do them as part of our daily morning routine to make us better. We are very pleased to have partnered with Freedom Plunge. Freedom Plunge is on a mission to bring cold exposure to everyone. They believe that cold plungers should be affordable, easy to use, and represent the customer themselves. Cold plunges shouldn't cost a fortune, and these ones don't. Garrett and I both use our Freedom Cold Plunge every single day. It's customized. You can put whatever you want on them. For us, we have our Impossible Life logos. And here's the best part. Just for listening to this podcast, you can go to freedomplunge.com, use the discount code IMPOSSIBLE, and save $500 off any Freedom Plunge. These things are half the price of the ones that you see on the internet, plus you're going to save an additional $500 with code IMPOSSIBLE. Go to freedomplunge.com and get yourself one now. You will not regret it.